Welcome, I'm Cliff Hedges. This is Pastor Cliff's Notes. This is a podcast where we're studying the Bible. We're working our way through the book of Acts. Today is episode 217. We're looking at Acts chapter 4, verses 32 through 37. Let's read our passage. Now the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own. Instead, they held everything in common. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. For there was not a needy person among them, because all who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid them at the apostles' feet. This was then distributed to each person as any had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth, the one the apostles called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement, sold a field he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Well, before we talk about this, we need to review an earlier passage back in chapter 2. At the end of chapter 2, in verses 42 through 47, there was this description of the early church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as any had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. Every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. So that was kind of a summary statement. Then he gives some more detail. Said in the summary statement, talked about the signs and wonders and everyone filled with awe. And then the next point in the book of Acts, chapter 3, is about the healing of the lame man. This was the signs and wonders. Talked about going to the temple daily and for prayer. And that was what Peter and John were doing. And when they healed the lame man, talked about people being added daily to their number. This is what was happening after the healing of the lame man, with people being added to the ranks of those who were being saved. Talked about prayer after the incident with the Sanhedrin, when Peter and John went back to the group of believers. They prayed together. And then he also talked about the common ownership of the early church. And that's what he's talking about now. Here in beginning in verse 32, lays the outline of it, verses 32 through 35. Then he gives a positive example of Barnabas. Then in chapter 5, we'll see a negative example of it with Ananias and Sapphira. So verse 32, the entire group of those who believed were of one heart and mind, and no one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but instead they held everything in common. The first characteristic that Luke tells us about is the one heart and one mind. Everyone is together. They are unified. They're unified in what they believe. They're unified in what they think. And they're unified about their common faith in Jesus Christ. An outflow of that was this giving of their things voluntarily. Now, the idea of holding things in common, it wasn't new. It was an ideal of the ancient Greeks that sometime, if you could ever have this utopia, there would be no private property. Everything would be held in common. But we know that never works in real life because people are not that naturally selfless. And in the Qumran community, the Essenes, there was written rules on how things are to be held in common. So in order to be part of that community, you had to relinquish any private property and turn it over to everyone. Here, this seems to be entirely voluntary. There was no rule. Well, if you're going to be a Christian, you've got to give up everything you own. No. If that were the case, we wouldn't actually see the next two examples of the selfishness of Ananias and Sapphira. And even in that case, their sin was in the lying, not in holding back some of the money. In fact, Peter said that it was your money. Freely, you could have held it back. But it was in the lying to the Holy Spirit. But we see Barnabas as kind of the supreme example of this selflessness of giving of one's things. And if it was universal, we wouldn't see that example of Barnabas there as one who stands out. So I think it's kind of hyperbole, the language where it says all the people. I think that would be, sometimes the way we say all. Just people all over the place were given things. Just everybody's given stuff. Well, I mean, every last person? No. At this point, we've got 5,000 believers. Every single one of them has sold their homes and lands and given it all up? No. But it does speak to the generosity. And so you have this idea of just a lot of ancient philosophies of the utopia of commonly held things. But down in verse 34, it talks about not a needy person. And that's more of a Old Testament kind of thing of the prophets talk about someday there won't be any needy people in Israel. So verse 33, with great power the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was on all of them. So the first thing we see about this community is the one heart and mind. The second thing we see about this is this common ownership of things. And the third thing we see is this, the power of the testimony of the apostles. And the fourth thing we see about them is the great grace was on all of them. In verse 34, for there was not a needy person among them, because all those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the proceeds of what was sold, and laid it at the apostles' feet. This then was distributed to each person as any had need. Now, it's being brought to the apostles. Is it actually being given to them? No, it's they're the representatives, the leaders of the early church. So it's brought to them to be distributed. And are they themselves actually handling the distribution? Well, we see in chapter 6, no, it looks like they have deputized people to actually carry out these kind of tasks. Then we have the example of Barnabas, verse 36. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus by birth. And it says the one that they called Barnabas, which is translated son of encouragement. We'll see a lot of Barnabas in the first few chapters of the book of Acts. So what do we know about Barnabas? Well, we know he's from Cyprus, so he is actually a come here to Jerusalem. He's a native of Cyprus. His name is Joseph, but they call him Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, which says something about what he's like. And we see him as just an encourager. We see him, particularly we'll see him in the next few chapters as he interacts with Saul, who then becomes Paul, as just an encouraging kind of guy, one who is always kind of bringing the best out of people. So that's why he's given the name Son of Encouragement, Barnabas. We also say he's a Levite. I remember there were originally 12 tribes in Israel, and the Levites were the descendants of Levi. Some of them, specifically the descendants of Aaron, were the priests. And all of the priests were Levites, but not all of the Levites were priests. And the Levites who were not priests were the ones charged with the religious duties. And what's interesting is back in Numbers and Deuteronomy, a couple other places, there's a prohibition against the Levites owning land. But then later in the Old Testament, we see examples of priests who actually own land. And so it seems to be something that wasn't necessarily followed later on in the Old Testament. Now, New Testament times, it says Joseph, he's a Levite. Well, based on strict interpretation of the Old Testament, he's not supposed to own land. Now, maybe they interpret that as the tribe of Levi is not given any kind of land share of Israel, but it's okay for them to personally own property. Well, regardless, he does own property. And verse 37 says, he sold a field that he owned, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. Now, this little passage serves two functions. One, it gives the positive illustration of what I just talked about with the common ownership of the voluntary giving of one's wealth for the common good. So he talked about it. Now we see a positive example of that, of Barnabas. And we'll see a negative example next with Ananias and Sapphira. But it also introduces us to Barnabas, because Barnabas is a main figure in the book of Acts. And we just see what kind of guy he is, that he is an encourager. He is generous. He sold a field that he had and brought the money and gave it for the common usage. But he also carries this name, Son of Encouragement. And that's what the word Barnabas means. So is this a requirement, this requirement of generosity? Well, we don't have written requirements of generosity, but we see it as an ideal that those of us who have been impacted by the gospel, those of us that consider ourselves servants of God, servants of Christ, the people of God, we should be generous. And that's a sort of thing of, if I'm not generous, that's something to be talking to God about. Say, God, why am I not generous? And that indicates it's a problem with my heart, and I need to get that right with God. Thanks for joining me. Join me again next time as we continue working through the book of Acts.